So, as promised from last episode, before we even get to talking about the playoffs, we're gonna play our little game of figure out how many points these players had. I mean, we're surprised with McDavid, with Montour. So we're gonna try to find some other players that we didn't realize how many points they scored. There might be some overlap, we don't know, but basically our parameters we discussed was I think we said minimum 15 games. And they need to be known by the average hockey fan. So if there's someone that we don't know, then that means we're not average hockey fans. Is that good with everyone?
It's good with me.
Yeah, boy.
I think we should start with all. Are we playing like closest to, or are we playing like Price is Right? Like if you go over, you're out.
Closest to.
Yeah, I hate that Price is Right rule. But okay, we'll start with Olsen because I think we're each going to say three players. We'll kind of just go around in a circle and we'll do three rounds and see who wins. So Olsen, would you like to nominate your first player that me and Anton have to guess?
So you want me to give you the player name and then be like how many, let's say, goals this person scored?
I thought we were just doing points. That's what Anton said, hey, in the chat.
Yep.
Well, I didn't listen, so we're not gonna do points. I'm gonna, 'cause it's me also,
Well, hang on, hang on. No. You want me to just go first, so then you can figure out your points.
All right.
Because I think Jeffrey and I already have our
It's
guys.
okay. I can pivot on the fly. We're good. Okay, so you want the player's name, and then you tell me how many points you think this player scored, right?
Yeah, and then like if we're struggling, maybe give us the games, I think.
All right. How many points did Jesse Puljujärvi score this year?
I'm sorry. I thought we were saying average hockey fan.
I'm sorry. He played. I'm not gonna say how many games he played, but he has played one, two, three, four, five. This is his sixth NHL season.
And he was drafted third overall, no?
Yeah.
I'm
Or
sorry. I
fourth.
thought you guys complain about it all the time. Like all my players are all-star players. What is this? I thought we were. You know what? Fine. We'll go Jesse Puljujärvi. Fine. Fine. I don't care. I guess I'll go first. I'm gonna guess he scored 24 points.
Anson, how many points did Jesse Puljujärvi score this year?
I was gonna go 27, but let's just go 30.
Jesse Puljujärvi in 75 games. All right, so he's an established NHL player. He's playing 75 games a season. 16 points. Is the Jesse Puljujärvi experience over? Is he officially labeled a bust at this point?
I think so, especially if he doesn't make an NHL team next year. It's pretty much, it's a bust.
Anson, is he a bust?
I'd say yes. The only thing I'm doubting is that if he's, sticks with the Canes this coming season, they might have a role for him one way or another. Because, the Canes always have insane bottom six.
So he's a bottom six player now?
Do you think he's top six player now?
Well, no, I don't think he's a top six. I think the question is he a bottom six player or is he not an NHLer is the question, I think. Sorry.
I think they can make him into a serviceable bottom six guy. If it's anyone who can do it, it's the Hurricanes. That's what I'm saying.
Fair. All right. That's my one. I just wanted to see where you guys thought. And both of you sound like you guys overestimated the production from Jesse Puljujärvi this year.
So does that mean I get one point?
I think you're closer. It's your point.
Awesome. Okay, then I will go next. Like I said, I only pick all-star players. So, Jeff Skinner, how many points?
Vito. I have
Vito, I
him.
have him on my list too.
Okay, fine.
He is 82 points.
Fine. Okay. I will do my another one then because I actually came up with the alternates, unlike Olsen. Brent Burns. How many points did Brent Burns have this season? He was like a sexy Norris pick. I know Olsen highly valued him in fantasy, and he didn't do well in fantasy. But how many points did Brent Burns have? I think we'll go with Anson first because he Anson went second last time.
Let's go a good 60.
I'm gonna go with a good 41.
So, in 82 games, Brent Burns had 18 goals, 43 assists for 61 points. So Ants is just off by one. So he was closest. Pretty good season, I would say. I mean, Carolina overall had a pretty good season. But yeah, Brent Burns really, once he played on a team that had a good defensive structure, he was allowed to blossom and put up 61 points. So I guess Anson gets the point there.
So for all being the, you know, sexy Norris pick and everything, you take off Erik Karlsson going insane this year. I'm sorry, sorry to Erik Karlsson, but, you know, do you put him in the consideration of the second tier of Norris candidates, like your Josh Morrissey's, your Adam Fox's, or do you think he probably is another tier below that?
I think he's a tier below that. I think there's a good 3, 4, 5 guys I would put ahead of him still.
Yeah, I would probably agree with Anson there. Like, I wouldn't say Brent Burns is as dynamic as that, like, next tier two of Norris Trophy candidates, like your Foxes, even like your McCarr. I guess McCarr would technically be second tier this year. I mean, I don't remember, like, Quinn Hughes. I don't think so. I think he's probably, like Anson said, that third tier of Norris Trophy candidates.
So while we're on that trend of Norris candidates, I'm going to give you Quinn Hughes. How many points does Quinn Hughes have this season?
57.
I'm going to say, I know he has more than 57, so I'm going to cheat and say 58.
Okay. So Quinn Hughes this season, he's played 78 games. He's got 7 goals, 69 assists, for 76 points.
Nice. He did the 69 number. I'm a child, I know.
So after the first round, it's, I think, Olsen has 0 points.
Yes, that is very
Anson's
true.
Anson's got one, and I've got two.
So I'm going to jump back real quick. For the dumpster fire that is the Canucks, that's a pretty good production from Hughes, I'd say.
Look, someone has to score the points, you know. It's not getting blown out 8-0 every game. Someone's got to do it.
But 76 points?
He's paid like a first liner. What does he get paid? $9 million or something like that? $9.8 million, I want to say?
Well, also, the Canucks' problem wasn't scoring. It was that they couldn't defend, right? They were giving up a ton of goals. So it's okay. It made sense that you put up that many points.
Sorry, it's $7.8 million. But you know what? He gets paid like a first line defenseman, and he is an offensive defenseman, you know? He's a really good player.
He's a good forward.
He's not a forward. Okay, don't get me wrong, but like, I would say he's probably not the best defensively. Is that a fair assessment to make?
That's 100%, yeah. I would say that's a fair one.
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of what you expect. So, I mean, I'm not overly surprised, but I'm also not, like, you know what I mean? I'm not overly surprised, but I'm also a little bit shocked. That is a lot of production.
Yeah, it's about right. All right, let's move on to round two. Olsen, I guess you can lead off again, because you only have two guys left on your list, and hopefully
I have three. I can adapt. How many points did Alex Pietrangelo score this year? Oh, I think I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the markets he plays in. Maybe it's he's not very outspoken. He just seems to be one of those players that are just really good that just gets under the radar.
I am going to say 57 points.
Is it unfair if I ask for games?
Kind of, because, you know what? Jeffrey didn't ask. 73 games.
50 is not a bad choice there.
I mean, you could do what Jeffrey did there. You
no.
57 or 59.
Secure to win.
No. I'll go a good 63.
In 73 games, Pietrangelo in his 32-year-old season had 11 goals and 43 assists for 54 points. I don't know. What is it about Pietrangelo? Like, he's got what? 2 under 20 medals, 1 Olympic gold, 1 World Cup championship gold, first place, a Stanley Cup championship. Like, he's got the silverware, I'd say, looking back at his career, I think, where he got drafted, I think, he's lived up to the hype. I don't know. There's something about Pietrangelo that just doesn't get the attention I think he deserves.
Yeah, no, he's always, I think he's like a complete defenseman, right? So like he's always been kind of overshadowed because he doesn't have like one specific skill that he's good at. And I think especially like from like a Team Canada standpoint, right? He's kind of always been that extra guy. Like he's not within the top six, but then you're not going to carry him as a seventh defenseman. You want like a specialist for a seventh defenseman. So I think that's how he kind of goes under the radar, especially when he was in St. Louis, right? Like he kind of flown under the radar there for a long time. And I mean, Vegas is a bigger market, but Vegas themselves have just had a sneaky quiet season. So I think that's how he fell under the radar.
For sure. All right. So, Jeffrey's got 3 points. I hate it. But you're next anyways.
All right. I went defenseman last time, so I'm going to go forward. Former Art Ross Trophy winner, Jamie Benn. How many points did he have?
I'm super under, I know, but I feel like you put Jamie Benn into that Alex Pietrangelo category too, where you kind of just like, maybe it's the market, but you don't really hear about him as much. I want to say he's had, you know, I'm asked, how many games played? I need the help.
He had 82 games played.
82 games. I want to say he had 67 points.
Anson?
I think Sagan didn't have that many points, and they play together. You know what? 60.
So Ben and Sagan don't play with each other anymore. But Jamie Benn, this year, in 82 games, had 33 goals and 45 assists for 78 points.
We're on the board, baby!
He's had a resurgent, played a lot with Wyatt Johnson, kind of like a mentor to him. But, I mean, Dallas themselves, with the Peter DeBoer effect, really shone through, and clearly Ben responded to it. So, yeah, 1 point to Olsen there, gets on the board.
So it's my turn?
Yeah.
Let's go to Ottawa, to Timmy Stützle.
Would it be ridiculous if I said 95?
I was going to say 91.
Are your both answers like locked in? Are they good?
Lock it in.
Lock it in, yeah.
So he's got 39 goals, 51 assists for 90 points a season.
I hate everything.
Your boy had Tim Stützle on both his fantasy hockey teams.
I hate everything.
Am I a guaranteed win basically at this point?
I hate it. I hate this.
All right, round three, last round. Okay, we'll put you guys out of your misery. Olsen, would you like to lead off with your final pick?
Would it even be an Olsen thing if he didn't include the Kings? No. So how many points did Gabe Vilardi have this season?
43.
52.
There is hope. Gabe Vilardi in 63 games had 23 goals and 18 assists for 41 points. I think a sneakily good season for someone who I think was on the borderline of being injury prone, you know, in the last couple of years. In the NHL, didn't seem to really live up to his promise, you know. He was drafted 11th overall, you know, ahead of, you know, some really good players, you know what I mean? Like ahead of, I don't know who, Kaylor Yamamoto, I think is a pretty good player, I'd say. Jake Oettinger, you know. There's some really good players. Jason Robertson, they had some really good players. He's had a really good year, 20 goals this year. That's the progress we're looking for as a Kings fan. So that's who I got.
Yeah, I probably should have asked the games played. I forgot how often he was hurt. Sticking to the Kings theme, you know what? I needed to respect both my co-hosts and make sure I pick a player that played for both the Blue Jackets and the Kings. Former All-Star, Jonathan Quick. How many points did he have this season?
That is so disrespectful.
You mean Vegas legend?
That is so disrespectful.
It was either that or Jeff Carter, so I thought I'd do Jonathan Quick.
Want to say
2.
Fuck, I was going to say 3, but that seems rude now. 5.
No, say 3.
I will say 5, because I believe in Jonathan.
So, in 41 games played this season, Jonathan Quick had 0 goals and zero assists.
So, I hate you. I hate you.
You're going to lose anyway if you pick threes. So
why are you humiliating my boys like that?
Oh, it is what it is. I was gonna like I even tried to do like Linus Armark, you know, but you know I felt I needed to respect you know the Kings and the Blue Jackets fans who are listening. So Jonathan Quick 0 points. So I guess Anson's got 2 points now, and Alston needs to win this one to make a tie for second.
I was gonna say I think I have three, but it's fine. I've lost track.
Oh, you might have three.
I've lost track. That's okay. Quite okay.
Yeah, three. So.
So, last season, I think we talked about how good Troy Terry was. Like, on multiple occasions. This season, I'm going to ask you guys, how many points does Troy Terry have for this season?
I want to say yes. I don't think it's as good as last year.
16. No, last year he kind of blew up quite a bit.
Ah, you know what? Games played. What's the question? No, he started really strong last year and then like kind of faded as the year went. But in terms of goals, how many games played? I learned my lesson here.
70.
I want to say 70. 60.
As another member of one of my hockey fantasy teams, he had a great start to the season again and then kind of petered off. So I'm going to go with one of his good friends, Trevor Zegras' old jersey number 46.
Oh, okay. So last year, he had 67 points. This year, with 70 games played, he's got 61 points.
Damn right. We're storming back. With none left, sadly.
Yeah, so unfortunately, sorry, Olsen. All right, so that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's the intro of our pod, and let's start the show proper, shall we?
You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
And we are back. Fortunately, Anson had to leave for a quick sec, but I'm sure he enjoyed our game. He's maybe just going to go and pout for a little bit. But, you know, the playoffs are in full swing now, you know. Also, what are some of the things that you've kind of noticed this playoffs? It's been crazy. So I think we need to kind of narrow it down. Like, what's been interesting you? What's on your mind?
You know, I got to say, the Rangers have been surprisingly good. You know, like, the Rangers, the regular season, they're all right, I would say, right? And then I get it. They've kind of just had some, you know, additions added in the playoff, in the trade deadline that makes them better. But I didn't think the Rangers were going to be as dominant as they've seemed to be. You know, they're coming into playoffs on a meh streak, you know, 5-2-3, the last 10, playing against a hot Rangers team who were 7-3. They've seen just teared apart the Devils. Like the Devils have no answer for them, right? Like that's a team that I'm looking at and going, oh man, they're getting hot at the right time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I think this team maybe just took some time for everything to mesh, right? Like they made some big moves at the trade deadline, right? Adding Patty Kane, adding Tarasenko. Like they're still trying to fix around their lines, figure out what was going to work. And clearly it looks like they in the first two games, especially, I think they're not even the home team, right? They're the away team. Like, they took two from the Devils already, and that puts them in, like, a pretty strong spot right now. I mean, the Devils are young, though, so I'm kind of like, it kind of is okay with, like, how they're playing, but the Rangers do definitely look a lot more dominant than I think people were expecting for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting for me, but then on the flip side, I thought the Avalanche were going to have an easier time with the Kraken, to be honest with you. Like, the series, as we're recording right now, is tied, right? But I would have thought they would have been more dominant. I think most people look at this Avalanche team and went, oh, they were not that great in the regular season just due to injuries. But they're being handed a handful by this Seattle Kraken team where, I'll be honest with you, Jeffrey, who is their star forward on that team? maybe take away Jeremy Kinn. Who is their star for besides Jeremy Kinn?
I would put up like a guy like Manny Beniers, maybe. Like, I think he hit like 60 points in his rookie season or close to 60 points. Like, and I think that's the thing about Seattle, right? Like, they don't have that star forward, right? Like every expansion team, right? It's offense and defense as a group, as a team, right? You don't have that star just yet. I mean, they have Shane Wright in the wings. They have Manny Beniers kind of is starting to develop into that star. But like, you're right, like, there's no one on like a McKinnon or Rantanen level on that Kraken roster.
Yeah, like when you look at that team, it's their top scorer is 70 points, and it's Jared McCann. Then it was talking about that defense, right? 64 points from Vince Dunn. Like, there isn't a star forward on the team. I mean, you look at a team like, I don't know, New York, like I said, right? You've got Patty Kane. You've got, you know, you've got, I am blanking out right now at the absolute worst time. But who else does that team have, Jeffrey? I am totally blanking out. They have Tarasenko. They have Zibanejad. They have Panarin. Like, you can list out strong players on that team, strong forwards. But I can't think of anyone, you know, when it comes to the Seattle Kraken besides Jeremy Kinn. And yeah, like, they're built from defense. But at the same time, like, their goaltending hasn't been great either, right? So it's just, I don't know. There's something about the Seattle Kraken team that is interesting, but I would expect the Avalanche to have had a much easier time.
Now, is it Seattle overperforming or is it Colorado underperforming, right? Like, this, these are the defending Stanley Cup champions. In terms of the roster compared to last year, right? Obviously the big miss is Landeskog, but is there really a big difference between this roster and the roster that won last year? Like, I'm trying to think, like, sure, like Grubauer.
Goaltending.
Yeah, like Kemper is out. Georgiev is in. I mean, Georgiev's, his numbers are fine, right? But like, I'm just trying to think, like, what was there a big piece that's missing? And I really don't see. I think it's just, is Landeskog really that important? I mean, he is, but is there that much of a difference that like they can't perform with Landeskog out of the lineup?
See, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's not one, but it's the other. I mean, like, but at the same time, like, if you look at it, this Avalanche team, I mean, doesn't have Kadri as well now, but there's something with this Avalanche team that seems like they're missing. They don't have that click.
Well, I think too, like, yeah, I completely forgot about Kadri, but maybe it's the fact, like we all know in playoffs, right? Like, you know, your lineup gets short and you want to play your stars a little bit more. But the way Seattle's playing, that they're just every line, like, they don't have a star, but they've got four solid lines. And when you're the Avs, you've got some stars missing, right? You kind of have to, like, let your top six do its work. And maybe they're just not matching up well enough. Like, they have guys on their team that are playing, under 10 minutes who they just don't trust, and everyone else is playing like over 20 minutes. But then, you know, if Seattle is just going to keep coming wave after wave, you can't keep playing McKinnon, Rantanen in every other shift, right? Like, at some point, I feel like they've already like considered like splitting them up for the next game, like, or the game tonight. Like, they need to kind of like diversify their offense. And as great as their back end is, like, something, I feel like Seattle might just be like their Achilles heel, right? Like, they're the one team that's constructed in the way that maybe the Avs aren't going to be too well against.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really the, I want to say the farthest difference, because I think the farthest one is probably the Oilers. But this is a team that's probably, and when I'm talking about this team, I mean the Avalanche, one of the most star-heavy, top-heavy teams, you know what I mean, versus the opposite, you know, most depth team, most balanced team, maybe is probably what I'm looking for. So it is an interesting question here. And, you know, if one, you know, when one team wins, we'll know maybe that it was, you got to do one thing instead of the other. I don't know. It's a very interesting group that they've got here.
Yeah, no, I think with Seattle, like, normally you have like your like three solid lines and then a fourth line that's like competent. Like, I would argue probably, like, if the Leafs decided to, like, flush out their team and not just like put them all in the top six. They've kind of got like three solid lines. Actually, let's just, Boston's probably the easiest example, right? Like they've got three solid lines, and then they've got a fourth line that, you know, they're not afraid to put out there, but it's not like super great. Like that's the kind of like how most teams, like their four lines are constructed if we're like a playoff, like a Stanley Cup contender. But Seattle's got all four lines that are just competent, can play like basically all situations, and they're not afraid to just be like, hey, like we don't care who the matchup is, we're gonna play anyone, right? Like they're not scared. And I think that's maybe the one challenge that we that's one of the teams we've never seen kind of in the playoffs. Like maybe the fourth line isn't great, but like it's still like just overall, like this is a team that they can throw out any line, and yeah, they're just, they're giving the Avs some problems.
Final one for me, and then we'll go to your interesting thoughts about playoffs. The Winnipeg Jets just has been, holy cow, has that been interesting. You know, you're looking at the team itself, right? Now that they're going to lose Josh Morrissey for, it sounds like, the entire playoffs, can they handle it? The interesting storyline when it comes to how they've bounced back, and just look at what Winnipeg has done with the whiteout parties, you know, the actual atmosphere of the city. And I get it, it's a little easier when you have one of the smaller arenas in the NHL, but it has been an electric arena. It's been a very interesting team. And that's a team that I think I would consider one of my wild cards, because you don't know what to really expect from them, especially now if Josh Morrissey is going to be out long-term, what that brings into that metric. You know what I mean? The issue with the Winnipeg Jets last couple of years was they had no defense. So they brought in defense, and now their main defenseman is going to be hurt for the rest of the season. Can they adapt? And the amount of defense and the quality they brought in, will they be able to cover for this now that their star defenseman is going to be out for the rest of the season?
See, I don't know if I would call Winnipeg like a bounce back team or like a wild card, right? Well, they are in a wild card spot, but like what has changed with this team compared to last year, right? In terms of saying, oh yeah, they brought some defensemen in, like that was 2-3 years ago, right? These aren't like DeMello, Dylan, Pionk, Schmidt. They've been here for at least a season, right? Like they're not completely new faces. So I don't know. I don't think I can agree with you on that.
I could see it. I find it an interesting team, though. I think with all that's happened, it's now a very interesting team to consider.
Yeah, maybe. I would actually say it's the team that they're facing that's kind of being a little bit more interesting right now. I mean, like with Winnipeg, I think with Ehlers being day-to-day right now, like they haven't really fielded like a top six. They've kind of like loaded up their top line and just hope that they can produce offense on that top line, which has. And their second line hasn't been awful. Like Wheeler's kind of been holding it down a little bit. But I think the true strength of the Jets is when they have, you know, Ehlers where they can put like two scoring lines. They can split up Scheifele, Dubois, and Connor and put them on two separate lines and have like solid line. They've got a good shutdown line. They've got a good energy fourth line. Like, I think Ehlers has kind of forced Bonus's hand to kind of have to go top heavy, which probably is not ideal. But I look at the Vegas Golden Knights as kind of more of a wild card. They've quietly, you know, racked up, got first in the, they're the first seed, but no one's really treating them as a first seed. Like everyone's like, oh, they're kind of just there. But, you know, with Mark Stone coming back, like, and you consider like who they added, like they added Barbashev at the trade deadline. Like suddenly this team looks fairly deep. They've got great defense. Like you said, Pietrangelo, you know, under the radar season, put up, you know, 60 something points. Like, I don't know, this team, if they had decent goaltending, I would have been like, you know what, this is a team that could make it. But they're the wild card, right? Like, what if, you know, Jonathan Quick, you know, comes in and, you know, suddenly takes over the net. Right now he's not playing, but, you know, this is a team that's, I feel, could be the wild card of the playoffs, not the Winnipeg Jets.
So I think the wild card itself isn't, how do I put this? isn't the goal nets? Is it Mark Stone then?
Maybe. I mean, the like Mark Stone, the thing was like, you know, he can't just coming back from injury. How will he adjust to, you know, playoff atmosphere again, like just straight out of being injured? But I mean, he's a professional. He's captain of the Vegas Golden Knights. He's made long runs in the playoffs before. Like, you know, he's fine. And, you know, pace isn't a way of how he plays, right? He just makes a smart move, smart reads. And, you know, like, I think if you saw, I don't know if you saw the, which goal was it? The first goal tonight or this afternoon against Hellebuck, where he just does a no look wrap around, like pass into the neutral zone, just like blindly. He just knows where everyone is. So, like, honestly, I think Stone is an X factor, but he's not, I feel like he's already playing well enough in these three games that, you know, I think you can count him that he's solid. He's playing well.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Okay, so what do you got?
Well, I think the big thing, like, is that it, I mean, except for the Rangers Devils series, I really wouldn't say any of the series are leaning like one way. Like, there's not one team that I would say is like a clear favorite. Like, they're all competitive. Like, we'll see what the results come from the Rangers Devils game tonight. But basically, there's probably not going to be a single sweep, and I could see most of these series going 6-7 games. Like, this seems like it could be a long playoffs. Like, I mean, even like you talked about Colorado struggling with Seattle, like Boston's kind of struggling a little bit with Florida. Granted, I think that's kind of due to the fact that, like, I think Bergeron has been out, right? Like, Linus Allmark's been out for a little bit too. Like, they caught the bug or something, so maybe that's why they're struggling a little bit. But every series is interesting. There's not necessarily like a big storyline, but it's competitive. And normally you don't see that in the first round, right? Like, maybe closer to the conference finals and then the finals, that's when we see a little bit more competitiveness. But realistically, like right now, like every series is close.
I'm no longer as confident about the Bruins winning the cup.
Like, you mean, like, well, I mean, if Bergeron stays out, yes. It'll be interesting to see what the Bruins look like when Bergeron comes back. But, yeah, like, who is now the clear favorite? Like, it might be the Rangers because they're dominating the Devils. But I could very see, like, next round, whether they face Carolina or the Islanders, that's going to be another, like, that could be another 6-7 game series where there's, again, like, it doesn't look like it's going to be a clear favorite. Like, I don't know, like, I think every series has been a good watch. Like, if you're just looking to watch, pick, you could probably just throw a dart against the board, pick it whatever series you want. It's probably going to be a fun series to watch.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very good playoffs for people like you. And your Montreal Canadiens who didn't make the playoffs, you can turn on the TV and any game, you're not going to be disappointed.
No, I hate you for saying that the Habs are not in the playoffs.
All right, what else is on your mind here?
I think, you know, because it's you, we have to talk about the LA Kings.
Yes, sir.
I fell asleep. I went to go to bed when it was tied 2-2, I think. Or, yeah, when last night. McDavid finally shone through. But it was interesting for those first two games. Like, McDavid, no goals, just one assist in the first two games. Like, people, like, that's why Philippe Deneau is considered one of the best shutdown, like, forwards, because he will lock up your, like, star center and not let them, you know, perform. And granted, you know, third game three, they finally, McDavid found a way. He just realized, you know, he just needs to take that shot and, you know, don't, you know, overpass it and just, you know, pick your spot, shoot it. Korpisalo is not a great goalie. So, you know, unfortunately, he couldn't carry his team to the win. But again, you see the comments after the game. I feel like McDavid's a little bit rattled by the fact that, you know, the Oilers aren't dominating the Kings this series.
Yeah, it's... I must say, though, it sounds like the Oilers... They're getting screwed by a call a few times. I will say, they've been screwed by the calls a few times. And I'll be honest with you, Arvidsson has maybe dived once or twice. And once or twice. But at the same time, like, this Kings team is legit. right? You've seen Kempe prove that last year wasn't a fluke, right? They proved that by Kempe scoring another 40 goals here, and that their offense is good. And then they've got guys like Deneau who are able to shut down that line of McDavid. And I think it's a big confidence booster to say, oh, never mind, McDavid can't score two goals and still get shut down, still lose, right? It's that thing, though, where it's, I got to say, Kings are very good, but they've gotten lucky a few times. So it's interesting to see game four how they're going to be able to react to that.
Yeah, I mean, like, the non-call, and then I think game one, too, the overturned goal, like, the Oilers have definitely been on the wrong side of a couple calls. And I think there's definitely, you proved me right when we discussed before, right? Like, in the last episode, we were saying, you know, with the Kings' third line, you know, is that good enough to beat the third line of the Oilers? Like, do they have enough depth? And you look at the Kings' third line, three goals in three games. Oilers' third line, one goal in three games. And I think that difference, if the first two lines, they're just matchup lines, they can just match, you know, McDavid line, Draisaitl line, just match them up, just let their third line just play well. I mean, IFO on the third line is kind of a little of a cheat code right now. But, yeah, like, we're just going to have to wait and see. Like, the series has gotten a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
For sure.
All right, and my last kind of, like, observation, I guess. Like, I mean, I'm kind of also watching the NBA playoffs a little bit on the side, but, I mean, besides the Josh Morrissey injury that happened today, like, realistically, most of the series have been, knock on wood, quite healthy. Like, we haven't seen any major injuries beside the Morrissey where, I mean, like, I don't think you can call Landeskog. That was, like, before the playoffs. That was before the regular season, right? But, thankfully, all the series have been quite healthy in terms of, like, star players. But, like, you look at the NBA, like, Giannis has been out for two games. Tyler Hero on the Heat, he's been out for two games as well. Like, I'm really thankful right now that all these series right now have been, you know, very like, it's been, you know, playoff hockey still. Like, they're still seeing hits. You're still seeing fights. I'm sure everyone's got bumps and bruises, but thankfully we haven't seen a star player get knocked out just yet. I don't know. You watched the Leafs Lightning game. Did Braden Point come back at any point, or is he like?
He did. He did. I would say, I'll be honest with you. First off, I don't watch basketball. I'll maybe watch a game or two there, but like, I don't really sit down and watch basketball. But is that, I guess we're lucky, but how much of it is maybe it were early? And at the same time, it's, this is what I want, right? I want to see the best. I want to see every team ice their best players. I don't want to see a team have, you know, ice out the third line as their first line because everyone else is hurt. So, I mean, like, I'm thankful for that, but it's early, man. And you always know at that end of that playoffs, you always hear that these guys have had, you know, a sprained MCL that would have been out for 2 months if it was the regular season. But it's a playoff, so they just played through it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think NHL players are tougher than NBA players, but like, maybe it's just the law of averages. Maybe it's, you know, like, maybe throughout the rest of the NBA playoffs, nothing's going to happen. And maybe NHL playoffs, we're going to see some stars might maybe miss a couple games here and there. But I just look at the NBA, I'm like, maybe they need to wear some more padding or something, or maybe these guys need to tough it up and play through these sprained MCLs or punctured lungs, like, and whatnot, right? Like, these NHL players, you know, they're playing through everything. Like, I don't know if you saw the fight between, what was it, Tanner Jeannot and Luke Shen. Did you see how swollen his hand was after the fight?
Oh, his hand is all cut up.
Yeah, like, and, you know, get some ice, get the swelling down, you're on, once you finish serving your penalty, you're back on there, right? Like, that's what you gotta love. I feel like people always say, like, what's the most grueling playoffs? I will always say the NHL is the most grueling playoffs out of all the big four major sports.
I could see it.
Like, baseball, do you really? I wouldn't call that, you know, tough. And football, you get a week off every, like, you play a week off before you play the finals. You get 2 weeks off. You get, you know, I just think the NHL over all the other sports has the best playoff atmosphere, like best playoff competition and fight and desire compared to everyone else.
For sure.
Yeah, that's kind of my three takeaways. Maybe we'll catch Anson's three takeaways on the next episode, but probably our next episode will be into round two. So, Austin, before we sign off tonight, who do you think are moving on into the next round?
So you're very confident that you can get this edited out quickly?
I feel like we'll get it out. This is like Saturday night getting into Sunday morning. Maybe we'll have it out Monday. Okay. I feel like there's not going to be a series that's going to be over by Monday, right?
Sure. Okay. The West, I've got... I want to say the Avs. I said the Kraken, but it's going to be Avs. Avs, Dallas. Again, I want to say Winnipeg. Vegas and LA. In the East, it'll be Boston, Toronto, Islanders, and Rangers. What do you got?
I'm fairly similar to you. I've got the Avs. I've got Minnesota instead of the Stars. We didn't talk about them much, but I think that Pavelski injury has been big, and Gustafson's... If Minnesota didn't play Fleury in that game too, I feel like this would be a completely different series. It could be 3-0. I also wanted to say Winnipeg, but I think Vegas has got it. And I'm sorry about your LA Kings, but I do think, McDavid's gotten his scoring touchback. He's going to be playing with a vengeance. I could see the Oilers winning the next three games here. So it's the Avs, Minnesota, Vegas, and Edmonton. In the East, I've also got Boston. I really want to say Lightning because I know that's going to frustrate everyone. Like, the Lightning in 7 is going to happen. But the Leafs just look so darn good, so I'm going to go Leafs. Carolina, I think that one game the Islanders won last night was a one-off where they scored 4 goals in, 2 minutes. And the Rangers. So, we shall see. Next episode, how many of our predictions were correct? Do you have any final things to say there, Austin?
It's been a week of playoffs. I've had so much fun watching it, and I look forward to watching more games.
Yeah, I feel like I can't catch up, but I will do my best. And with that, we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks Podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us? You can tweet us at BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.